Hi, welcome to the Writer's Source podcast, hosted by Ufoma and Faith. The Writer's Source podcast is a platform for writers and lovers of the writing industry in Nigeria and Africa as a whole. Do sit back and enjoy this episode.
Hello, dear listeners. Super delighted to have you guys back here. It's an exciting episode today as we are having the guests or the listeners episode. Is your favorite podcast, The Writer's Source. Writer's Source is a podcast focused on different gist or topic issues around writing, writers, and everything happening to writers within Africa and beyond. In today's world, where the value of books seems to be thinning and people believe writing is not a real job, well, The Writer's Source is here to let you know that writing is a new job and people are getting dollars and pounds from writing. Stay tuned. Fasten your seatbelt, grab a bottle of water, and enjoy this guest episode. Thank you.
That's our guest, our Abel Emmanuel Faith. That's the guest that we have on today's episode, guys. And if you've been following the podcast from day one, mm-hmm. you would remember. Faith, should we remind them? Anyway, I know day ones don't even need any reminders. You would know that as in that Emmanuel Faith and his brother, Michael Emmanuel, were our very first guest on the very first episode, guest episode of this podcast.
Yay, exactly.
And today now, we are having...
This is a full circle moment.
You get it's a full circle moment. And today again, for our listener guest episode, we have Emmanuel Faith this time sitting from the perspective of a listener. Let's just give you guys a little gist about who Emmanuel Faith is before we, you know, we jump in. So Emmanuel Faith is, drum rolls, Faith, give them drum rolls, give them drum rolls. Emmanuel Faith is a globally certified human resource professional, 4-time TEDx speaker, founder and co-founder of Bookathon, A Word a Day, and Bookmap Games. He's an author of 2 poetry collections, December Blues, Luster, and Adulting in Nigeria, which he co-authored with his brother, Michael Emmanuel. His passions include women's football, HRO, poetry, and Twitter. You go on Twitter and something. Yes, he always has something to tell us. And, you know, his Twitter is one of the most interesting places to be. So thank you for joining us, Faith. It's really...
Thank you so much.
I'm super delighted to be here. Glad to be here. Glad to be joining the curtain of this exciting season. I think that you guys had an amazing season. I loved the variety of season 3. Yes,
so. Thank you. Thank you. And I think that leads us to... Should we give our announcement now? So we have 2 Faiths on episode.
Well,
our host, co-host, and our guest,
Emmanuel's Faith said we can call him EF now. We call him EF.
I know, but I'm just like, let our guests, you know, let them get it right. Yes, and we have 2 Faiths on this episode. But anyways, like EF just said, this is the closing episode of season 3. But it's not just the closing episode of season 3. Faith, do we want to tell them? Do you want to do us the honors of sharing this news? I know that you've been dreading it, but, you know, it has to happen.
Well, I think that if you've been reading our letters, you would already know. You know already what this gist is about. But
yeah.
I will do the honor of telling you. By the time you listen to this episode, this is officially going to be our last run as the co-host of the Writer's Source podcast.
Yay! It's been a long time coming. And big thank you to all of you, our listeners. And that's why we said we needed to have this episode with one of our listeners. And it turns out that we had, you know, one of our biggest listeners, one of our biggest guys, EF, on this episode.
Your biggest fan.
Yes, so, yes. So I think that, where I would come from, let's talk about our first episode together. I don't know if you remember any of the details, but at the time, I know that you and Michael had just you know, published adulting in Nigeria. And man, since that time until now, if nothing has changed, it's like it's even getting worse. It's getting worse, sir. Adulting right? is such a struggle.
Then like, dollar was 400 or 500, and dollar is now 1,000.
Now dollar is like 1,000 naira, and it's like, so how are you dealing, like, you know, from that time to this time? How is adulting dealing with you? I'm sure if you go back to your poetry collection and you read those poems, you just be like, are we prophets? Are we telling the future?
Actually, yeah, that's very valid. I mean, I think it's even more difficult to adult in Nigeria today. Pretty sad. One of the reasons why I asked for, you know, a move, you know, a few minutes move, was because two of my friends were totally valid up today. I mean, who lays off people in December? Anyway, they were pretty very lucrative servants. So maybe that would keep them going. But I mean, it's also, even though, yes, they were paid a very lucrative servants, they are not but that for the next couple months. But again, you do not want to enter a new year searching for a new job, right? It is a scary situation to be. And it's just crazy. This year has been like very, very difficult for me. I've chopped breakfast, I've chopped rejection meals. I think that, I mean, we all know what happened yesterday, right? The discovery of the fact that Nigeria is now abroad of more fake products than real products. And I feel like if I'm going to write adulting, if me and my brother see that, write adulting in Nigeria again. I think the first book was like 42 pages. This one will be like 200 pages.
It will be.
A lot of shaking has happened since then, right? Yeah, so it's becoming more difficult and difficult to live in Nigeria. And it's really scary. I watched an interview of like an 80-year-old man and his wife, who was 74. And they were asking them a question. And it was like, to be honest, it is more difficult to live, to survive currently in Nigeria versus when it was their days, that, you know, they look at the youth and they cannot fault them for the kind of things they do, because it is just really difficult to survive if you know, you are not from a very wealthy home. So yeah, adulting in Nigeria, it don't be more difficult, I think.
So, speaking about changes, like Ufi said, the last time we spoke to you and Michael, we're at totally different phases in our lives then. And now, like, we can see the growth. And I just want to say, because I feel like EF is going to be humble about it, but EF recently won an award at the No Code Tech Summit. So congratulations.
Thank you. yeah, guys. I mean, I was awarded what's the award again? HR Recruiter of the Year.
HR.
In the Nigerian tech sector. I think it's really fascinating and humbling. It's humbling because I watch, of course, you guys already know that I watch football a lot. And the kind of awards that footballers cherish the most are the ones that were voted for them by their fellow footballers. You know, so there are some awards that coaches vote them, journalists vote them. But the ones that are voted by like your fellow colleagues are really, really highly cherished, which is why I think like I cherished it, because it was voted by people in the tech sector, right? So it was people in the tech sector that felt, you know, Human of Faith has been an amazing HR professional. He has added a lot of value to the Nigerian tech sector over the last 1 year. And then the gap was, I've not posted that picture. They posted it on Twitter. I mean, I could not repost it because it was landslide, man. I had like 51% of the votes. The next one had 29. It's not easy. Anyway, yeah. Thank you. Shout out.
Shout out.
Shout out to my fans out there. Thank you for me, you know.
Yeah. Tell us, from your perspective as a listener of the Writer's Source podcast, it's been 3 seasons. I mean, we had season one. And looking back, before I actually go to my question, from season one, it was really, you know, days of humble beginnings. We had, you know, most of our guests were from our circle of friends in the, you know, the literary space, the writing space. If you guys don't know at home, Faith, EF, and I used to be a part of a writing community back in uni, and I think we've mentioned this before. I think we even mentioned it in our episode. So this again is like a reunion. So then from episode one, it was like a community of people that we knew and maybe a few people that we didn't know, but it was easy to get to them. And then season two, you know, we went for bigger fish, if we use that word. That was the first time we got a foreign author on the podcast. And then the third season, like you said, when you joined us, Ian, we've had a lot of, you know, there's a lot of versatility.
An influencer, you had the book influencer, writing, you had book sales. That was awesome.
So it's just been a lot. So since you've been sitting through, you know, the 37 episodes, the three seasons, what's your perspective of the podcast? What's your best moments, or what are your best moments? Just basically, what do you have to say to, you know, the guys at home? Yeah.
Shout out everybody for listening to the Writer's Source. If you have not listened to the Writer's Source and you are listening to this because it's a man of faith, I understand. You know, go back to listening. Yeah, you know, it's not easy. But guys, go back to listening. I'm just really strolling through now. I'm trying to see which episode did I miss out on, because there were like one or two episodes.
Yeah.
I think it's really interesting. I enjoyed season one and season three. Season one is giving humble beginning. It's giving I was there when you started. And season three was like the manifestation of the growth. But what's more fascinating about season three is really the diversity. I really loved the book influencer episode. That's the one with Liblos Mafia.
Yeah.
And I loved it because it just shows, it's like the literary space is an ecosystem. And I think that it's exciting that, you know, we are seeing this, we can actually scale the industry, is to find people who read and people who have community of readers and just leverage on their reach. There are books I might not read, but if I see Lip Gloss Mafia, you know, or what's the name of this guy, Uche, I've forgotten his Instagram handle now. He also does like book influencing. If they recommend
I know the guy you're talking about. Yeah.
Yeah, or Happiness. I'm like, okay, yeah, this guy's recommended this book. It should make sense. And there are people that would read books because Emmanuel Fitch recommended it. Emmanuel said the book is great. Okay, I'm going to try it out. So I really love that conversation and just how she was able to like diffuse from like personal hobbies to having community and just talking about how reading and influencing for books, you know, in Nigeria. Because think about it, there are a lot of songs that go viral because influencers are on it. I mean, if I know if I like Babu or whatever that song is, everybody is listening to it because I'm not listening to it, by the way.
Yeah,
I'm
one of Umbrella. The people
that's not listening, and I'm very proud of it. I'm not going to listen to it. Anyway, but even without listening, I'm like the lyrics are stuck in my head because everywhere I open, it's even if I live for Babu, right? So I really loved that episode. Really stood out for me. Another episode I really enjoyed was, I think, Janet Uzo and Chimeka Guy. Yeah, Chimeka Guy, obviously. Or even my friend, you know that I love the Broken People's Playlist. I think it's one of the very few sad books that I love. Right. I think I love it because even though it was half of it was sad, it also sort of mirrored the reality. The opening story is one of the best I have ever read. It just talks about how, like, different things can just happen even with the purest intentions. The tragedy can just happen. You literally cannot prevent that tragedy from happening, right? So I loved how, you know, Chimeka walked us through his writing process. And I think Chimeka is also a very good conversationist. So
yeah.
It was a very good conversation. And I think that I share similar sentiments with Janet Uzo. So I have, again, I like Janet Uzo. I met her in person. She's an amazing person. So maybe that's like a bias, right? But I also love her book. It's one of the very quick reads. The first time I read that book, I started and finished it. I went to AU. And on my way back, I just carried it. And by the time I got to Lagos, I was done.
It's a one, like, in one sitting. Yeah, Miracle had actually said on the episode that when people say, we finished the book in one sitting, she's like, something I took how many months writing?
It's right. But then it also has a good read value, right? So, so I think those three episodes, but I think the one I really love most is that Lip Gloss Mafia, because it just shows how, like, that's another component of the book spectrum, the literary spectrum, that people do not pay attention to. That I hope publishers, I'm calling you out, Masobe, you are my friend, Masobe, Narrative Landscape and Media. I think that publishing has really need to leverage on influencers more. And again, we are not going to build one look, one video, 500k, you know. We're not going to do that. I just need, you know, that publishers acknowledge that they actually book influencers and, like, they reach out to them to help promote the bookstore. They are doing it already. I know Reader did a lot of that last year. I know Narrative Landscape, you know, does that once in a blue moon. I mean, like, I know I've influenced for a couple books for them, but it would be great if publishing house actually realized that this is another way to enhance the ecosystem and leverage that channel. Yeah, that's it.
Certainly agree.
And I think that was our aim too. In deciding guests, we also wanted to have a diverse, you know, range of guests on the podcast where we could talk about various aspects of the literary scene in Nigeria. And I'm just glad that, you know, we're able to achieve that, you know, based off your comments. Thank you.
Exactly.
I'm actually surprised that in Faith calling off his all of his episodes, Faith, do you know what I want to say? That EF forgot or did not mention as he was calling all of his episodes. EF's love.
Oh, that's true. That's true. He didn't mention.
Oh, Jerry, I didn't
mention. Where did you put Dami Larry?
So again, so two things. Two episodes that I would have mentioned as honorable mention was, of course, the one with my best friend. Michael, Oyade of Lagos episode, which was just
one of our favorite episodes.
It was just fun. It was just, you know, it was just fun trying it. But yeah, so maybe, you know, this thing. Damn, like, I did not see you finish. You know, I love you. It's very funny, guys.
Are you excited about that book?
Yeah, of course.
Only Big Bumbo matters tomorrow.
Only Big Bumbo matters tomorrow. Hey, she's having.
We are looking forward to it.
Like, if I'm not excited, who will be? Do you people know how much I love her?
She's really having fun with her titles, and you know, they're standing out. It's like, and that's another thing, it just shows you that books don't have to be, I don't want to use the word serious,
so
to
serious, make it seem like,
but it doesn't have to be the, you know, I think like how many years ago, it's now, it's our generation that is changing that narrative of, oh, books always have to be something about some social injustice, some social
suffering.
Do you get? I mean, we love them, but
fall apart.
Let's see the Gen Z things. Let's see the funny things happening in today's world. And that's why I really like Nearly All the Men in Lagos Are Mad, because those stories are relatable. All of us have jumped breakfast. All of us have had mad people around us. All of us have dealt with one thing and another. And, you know, you can relate to these stories. You've dealt with Lagos traffic. You've dealt with people. It's Big Bum Bum. Only Big Bum Bum matters tomorrow. We know the craze
BBL,
about
BBL.
I mean, like, literally, that's like a major conversation. I mean, we still saw Christian BBL, which day?
We did. We did.
So, it's just interesting because I watched a Korean, of course, you guys already know I watched K-drama. And the scene that I remember, I think it was agency, and the person was like, oh, like, carve out a path. If the path is successful, you know, they will call you an hero. If it's not successful, they will lynch you. And I just think that, like, Damila Ikoko has carved out that path. And, you know, no matter what people say, she's going to keep selling. And we are going to keep recommending her book. When people meet me today and like, I don't like reading, but I want to start reading. What book should I start with? Literally, like, Nearly All the Men in Lagos Are Mad is by default one of the books I recommend. Because I know that you cannot read, is it 12 or 16 now? 12. You cannot read all the 12 stories and not like at least two. Right? I love Chigozie Obioma, but I'm not going to ask you to start with The Fisherman. I don't want you to book. The Fisherman is very good literature. Chigozie Obioma, I love you if you get to listen to this. But I am not going to ask a beginner to start with Chigozie.
You don't want to ask a beginner to start with that book.
I'm going to give you, you know, Nearly All the Men of Lagos Are Mad, the Boku People playlist.
The thing around your neck.
Very
short
things that I feel like they would grab your attention, even if you have a short attention span, you know. Or you can breathe white. What's that? My sister is reacting. So it's actually very important that we have, you know, those genres, and we have people that are committed to writing those genres. It's just like Bolu Babalola too. I would recommend Love in Color and Onion and Spice. Even Onion and Spice is very big. But yeah, because they are just feel good love stories. And like, there are a lot of lessons in them. One of the stories that I do not know why people miss out on that story when they are being chained nearly all the girls in Lagos Are Mad. But one very unique story is that story of, I forgot the title now, the one that had that the mother sat in the plane, blah, blah, blah. The mother had raised the son. Why can't I remember the story? Yes, my book. Let me get where's my copy of Nearly All the Men, because I'm mad. So where like the woman now had to like let go of the son to say, hey, you know, I love you, but I do not think that this is going to work. That's like a very, very unique, like it's something that we see happen. Two people in love, and then because of family, you know, they do not work. So it's not really about lynching bad men. It's actually a book that attends to, you know, societal issues. Anyway,
Is he still looking for his copy?
No, it's fine.
Yeah. I think that, no, let me bring the gist to Faith, my co-host. So
do you know I was actually about to bring gist to you.
He wants to bring. I beat you to it.
Let me be your listener.
Yes, I beat you to it.
Okay. Then I'll go next.
So, Faith, in all of, you know, I think the same question I had asked EF, you know, in all of the three seasons, what's your highlight, really?
Okay. Well, thank you very much for that question. So I think that for me, it has all been, I have experienced different emotions. Like each guest has something special and unique that they are bringing. I think throughout this season, we laughed a lot on the podcast. Last season, we learned a lot. It's like each season just has something special that it has, that it brings. So I don't think I have a favorite, you know, like one particular favorite episode, but I do have favorites, but I don't think I have one. But I think that, you know, I feel changed by this podcast, to be very honest. I feel more knowledgeable, if that makes sense. You know, just learning about people's experiences, learning about, you know, their journey, their struggles, and just seeing that passion. I think one thing that everybody had was that passion for literature. Like, we could see that passion, that love for writing, you know, that love for Africa, for their country, and to just represent. And it just really, really inspired me. And honestly, I feel like a better person coming off this experience. And, you know, I'm just deeply grateful. So, yeah, that is my highlight. That is all my highlights.
That's what my highlight is. I actually agree with you. I think that, I mean, when you talk about this podcast, you know, changing you and giving you more perspective, I think that there was a lot of growth from the beginning, from where we started till this moment. Yeah. Getting to interact with writers, it was always, you know, a beautiful moment. I was speaking with somebody who is a poet. You're learning about, you know, their craft. You're talking with a performance poet. You're talking with a fiction writer, you're talking with a playwright, you're talking with, you know, you're talking with even a songwriter. And
yeah,
it was just really beautiful getting to just listen to these people talk about their work, talk about their love for literature, talk about how, I think one episode I really liked was the bookseller episode, where we're talking about, you know, the book business, the book selling business.
Yes.
Yeah. And how, how booksellers, you know, we have the economy that is even trying to drown that business. Forex is, you know, is one place.
It's Forex.
It's Forex, you know. So just really learning about the industry from different players' perspective. Both the guys that sell books, the people that write the books, the people that publish, you know, all of this, the whole chain. It was just a very beautiful experience for me. Yeah. And even getting to learn about MFA programs, that was also one episode I really loved with Uchoma. And, you know, even the story of the gods episode, we're just listening to somebody
else, folklore.
Yeah, yes. That is telling stories, this time not just by writing them, but like by just narrating them on, you know, on a podcast and getting people to listen to folklore. It was just really beautiful getting all of these people together.
Yeah, and shout out to you guys. I am jealous of your social capital. But yeah, shout out to you guys for.
But by extension, you're even getting, you know, you're getting all of this as well by being an active listener. It's just that we get to sit down with this guest, you know, You want to be like us, Abby. So, Faith, yeah, what okay, so, you bring to mm-hmm. it?
Yeah, so I was going to ask you, are you ready for this question?
I don't even know the question. Share, I will know it first. I will not know if I'm ready.
I think I was going to ask you the same question you asked me, but the way I phrased it was different.
Okay.
I was like, from listening to all the guests that we've had, yeah. what lesson would you say that you've learned from all the guests that we've had? Mm-hmm. And in what ways has this podcast changed you?
I think that's one thing that stood for me across every guest from the first season up until now is, you know, you can't be where you want to get to without consistency. I think that's one thing that I picked out. Because everybody we spoke to, you would realize that they talk about, it's not just, okay, I can write. I mean, anybody can learn how to write, right? Maybe you didn't even have that love from when you were a child. You can decide, okay, I want to learn about this, attend a master class or something. But it's not just about knowing the techniques or all of that. It's about how do you continue? If it's your love for books, if it's that, okay, your place in the industry is reading, influencing, are you committed to it? Like, how often do you churn out your content? If it's for, as a writer, how committed are you to bringing out, you know, your stories, to putting the work together? You know, you're writing a story. Is it that, oh, you write once in a year, you just, you know, forget about it? So it's really, for me, I think what I picked out is consistency. And even if you, consistency doesn't mean that, you know, you have to churn out 24 short stories in 1 year. It could even be, you know, two. But how often do you show up? Are you saying, okay, in every day, I write 10 sentences of this story, or I write 20 sentences, or I write 2 pages, or I write 3 pages every day, right? I want to write a novel. I would make sure that every day I complete 3 pages at least. I mean, like we talked about in the beginning, adulting, we have other responsibilities and other things that, you know, are in place. So if you are saying, okay, I would put down 3 pages. If it's reading a book, I'll read a chapter a day. You know, that sort of thing. So it was really about consistency. I admired the work that I see that everybody did not get to the point that they are today by just allowing things to come by. They were consistent with their work. If it was, okay, I want to get the MFA, they've been putting in the work before putting in the applications. If it's okay, I'm a performance poet, they didn't just start one day. They had put in the work, got on stage, and continued to put in the work. Songwriting, they've been putting in the work. Noveling, they've been putting in the work. So it's, you know, consistency and commitment. I think that's one thing that I really learned from all of our guests and from the episodes, just listening to mm-hmm. these people. Same thing with, you know, the episode with Bookmarket NG, when she talks about how she just started the whole business. It was from, oh, you're good with books, you like books, you talk about books, you can sell books. And then she's thinking about, oh, influencing, and next thing is, let's sell books, and she's doing it. So it's not just you have the passion. Passion is important. It's the starting point. What do you do with the passion? What do you do with your creativity? How committed are you to it? How consistent are you with it? So I think this is one major thing I picked out.
Okay. Thank you very much for that answer. So I have one question that I'll be directing to EF from the point of a listener and to you too. So let's start with EF. Then EF can give us a general overview answer from his point of view. What do you wish that we did differently as a podcast, starting and then like right where we are now?
Are you starting from
EF?
No, Ufoma first.
What would we have done differently? I'm trying to think. So I think that I have this position in life that if we keep thinking of what would we have done differently, we probably would just be thinking, oh, maybe, I mean, anything could have been better, or things always have room to be better. But I would like to think that our approach through this seasons or through, you know, all of the episodes were actually something I'm really proud of, right? Because we had to do a lot of it ourselves, just by ourselves, reaching out to the guests and, you know, all of that stuff. So I'm really, really trying to think about what could we have done differently from the perspective of a host. Let me see. Yeah, this is a really hard question. What would we have done differently, really? I would say that maybe before, you know, after the first season, maybe before the second season, we should have given it, we did give a lot of time, really, to build the second season and get our guests ready. But I think that maybe we would have also used that time to really, really try to get sponsorships, you know, partnerships and all that. We did do that, of course, try to reach out. But I think that there could have been more. We could have pushed for more. Not just, you know, say, okay, a couple of houses we reached out to didn't get back to us and, you know, let's just kickstart this. I think that rather than focusing on we have timelines, we need to be back with the new season at this particular time, we could have given it some more time and, you know, try to reach out more and make people see why this podcast was something that they should invest in. So maybe that. But all round, in other aspects, I don't think that I would have wanted to do anything differently. I enjoyed our method. I enjoyed, you know, the way we just really sat down and talked with these people. And the fact that we were even doing this remotely. We only had one physical episode with Maria Dane. So I think that we did do a lot of work. And I must say, again, I must give a shout out to DigiLaw for the first season, because I don't think that we would have had this podcast come alive if they weren't with us to, you know, back us up at the time. So I think that maybe just giving some more time to get the proper partnerships that we actually deserve and, you know, and the support. But other than that, I think we did good.
That's a great answer, really, because if I were to also answer that question, it would also be, you know, the pitching thing for me as well. Because I feel like we showed up and we gave it our best. You know, like we literally grew with this podcast, like from our first episode. You know, going forward, I remember we'd always give ourselves reviews where you'd be like, oh, Fitz, you know, your voice wasn't loud, you know.
Yeah.
So we're always conscious about, you know, growing and being better with every episode. Thank you.
I'm feeling the emotions now. So, oh my God.
The guy told you you were going to feel something. Yeah, so from your point of view as a listener, what do you think that as a podcast we could have done better?
Yeah, hi guys. First shout out to you guys, well done recording, doing something 36 times, like showing up 36 times over, you know, two, three years. It's not a child's play. We recently just wound up a word a day, and you know, it was interesting also. So after like sharing 1,000 words and a lot of video and synonyms to say, okay, thank you guys. Ah, that's true. We have not sent that a thank you message. We should do that. but yeah, I think that so you guys deserve all the praises, obviously, but that's not the question. So alongside what Ufi has said about the fact, I know that you guys have your day-to-day activities and all that, but another thing is I feel like you could have been more deliberate about your reach. I don't know like how many average listeners you have. I mean, I think reach and conversations. So yeah, you guys are like a podcast, and that's awesome. That's fascinating. But because you are also, again, you know, when we were reading your bio, we talked about the fact that you bring out gist around writers in Africa, outside of Africa, and all that. I feel like there are like conversations that you guys could have participated in, even if it was just via your social media. Do you guys? So for example, if I go to your page on Twitter, I'm using Twitter because that's where I live. Like 90% of your posts is about your podcast. Do you get? You guys could have maybe contribute, just tweet something spontaneous. Oh, so there's been discussion on sci-fi, you know, should Nigerian authors write sci-fi? Which Nigerian author, sci-fi writer would you like to see on the Writer Source podcast? And it doesn't even mean that you guys will invite the person, but you have steered a conversation. Another thing is, again, because you guys are doing something for the writing, reading community, it would have been great if you guys also attended, like, maybe literary festivals or book launch or things like that more. And just, for example, your intro, before your guest starts, you start with something like, guys, we were at Ayobami Adebayo's book launch at Wida on this Saturday, and it was awesome. Do you get, like, there's a way that people are like, you guys are not just bringing up because they're also actively participating in what's going on. Oh, guys, what? I think Booknock had like a meeting with Emmanuel Ijuma, you know, like those kind of intros. Guys, you know, Emmanuel Ijuma just won Winsor something, something prize, You guys did that for authors that you brought on board. But it would have been great, like, the way, okay, of course, all of us listen to what I said. It would have been great to have like those few minutes of just gists about what's going on. Literary space before you now delve into, you know, what's up with the author. So yeah, those are like the two things. Plus the sponsorship things, obviously. We could have been more proactive with sponsorship. But just being present in the literary space and the literary discussion, I think that that's one thing that you guys could have done better. But like, in terms of content, quality, tests, variation, 100%, you guys were amazing.
The factors that prevented that from happening was because we were far from each other. At the point, I think all through, up to the first to like the third half season of the podcast, I was not around. Like, I was in Ife at the time, and I think for Ufi, if you were in her life at the time, you would know that she literally didn't have, you know, like time. So I get that we could have done better in that regard, and I think it's something that we. Wait, Ufama went for Akem Festival, the last one. She was there last year, I believe.
Yeah, and I
think that's where she also got the contact for Aircon Digital. That was how we shot our shots the first time.
Awesome.
Yeah. So I think it's actually something that moving forward we are now more intentional about, you know, just having fun being in that space now. So thank you for that feedback. Yeah.
Awesome, you guys. You're welcome. Now, what are we talking about next as we approach the end of this conversation? Before the send us away.
Okay. So, do you want to ask us any question?
What question do I want to ask you people by you? That's your listener episode. Okay, I supposed to ask question, Abby.
Yes.
But you guys have already talked about your favorite episodes and what's one thing that you wish for the writers. Source right now, that someone should dash you $1 million.
Oh my god!
If I want you guys to share, if we with your listeners, I'm representing the listeners. This when you get to this place, like, follow the writer source, share to your friends, share to your reading community. I should do that. So I think I've only shared like one or two episodes with Bukatin, but yeah. So I need to do better. Now, if you want you guys to give us season 4, what do we need to happen?
Funny thing is, it's something Ufoma and I have spoken about. I think that we are at different phases of our lives where we want to actively pursue, you know, things. And because we were managing, you know, the Writer's Source podcast, it was a lot to do that. Yeah. So I think you know, I'm very open to the thoughts of, you know, season 4, but under different circumstances. For one, that sponsorship, that partnership, and then just that creative freedom to have, you know, more conversations, to reach out to more people, and to just really, really connect with the literary community. I don't know, Fama, what do you think about a season 4? Like, what would make you want to have a season 4?
Yes, you know, just as Faith said during his feedback, I was like, if it's something, what I was thinking was, if this is something we want to even have again, you know, maybe for like a season 4, those are things to put into consideration because they are very important. So I would say I align with what would make you want to get a season 4. I think that for me would be in under different circumstances, you know, when the time to actually really build the podcast is available. And, you know, we have that sponsorship, we have that partnership, we have the creative, you know, we have the creative space to be able to do this. And I would actually even think having a proper studio to do this. So, yeah, I would say that would be something I would look forward to. And I'm not closed out on having a season 4 or a reboot of the podcast at any point in time. I think it's something that I would be very open to, like Faith said. So we'll be open to having in maybe some near or far future, whichever way it is. But right now, given everything, I think that we need to put, so let's just say maybe it's a pause, right? Not an indefinite close to the podcast. Oh my God.
So I want to ask one question, but it's like two questions in one. So I just want you to answer it together.
Is it for me? Why so is it not for our listener?
Okay.
It's
okay,
listener for, episode. For you. It's listener episode. Why are you backing me?
Sorry, but would you say that you are proud of the podcast?
Oh, my everything God. Is going?
Number I one. Am. Number two. What do you want to tell the listeners? Like, what would you want to tell the listeners, especially for people interested in the literary space that might also be interested in starting a podcast as well? You know,
I would say, first of all, I am super proud. I think I was talking to my friends this evening on our group chat, and I was like, I'm going to be recording the last episode of the podcast in a few moments. And I was just looking back that Faith and I have actually come a long way. And I think one of the things that I'm very proud of in all of this is your growth, Faith. And I think we've talked about this. It's your growth, it's your consistency, it's your commitment for me. There are times that, I mean, lawyering 9 to 5, is killing me, and you are shouldering a lot of things. You are putting the podcast in place. You are getting our social media where it's supposed to be. You are, you know, reaching out to the guests. You're doing the whole housekeeping. And I think when we got the idea, to our listeners at home, if you've read our letters, you would see that we talked about how when we started, we just thought it was something, okay, let's just try this. Let's talk about what we love. See how it goes for the first season. Something we might just do and, you know, drop it. But it became home to us. It became something that was like a baby. We even got an award for it. We got another nomination for it.
Yeah, congratulations.
Thank you. And so I think that I'm really, really super proud of the work we put in, Faith. And, you know, it's beautiful that you would conceive an idea and you are able to, you know, go through with it. You're able to push through even beyond. I didn't see us getting publishers reaching out to us that, oh, we want our author to sit with you to discuss. I didn't see us reaching out to certain writers and them actually responding to us and saying, oh, we'll be happy to sit with you. Or even if they're not going to be able to say, oh, we see the work you're doing at this time, we're not going to be able to sit with you, but good, you know, continue the good work. So it's been a very beautiful experience. It's shown me that when you set your mind to something and when you're doing something you love, you can go all the way. So yeah, I'm very proud. Proud, proud, proud. What do I have to say to our listeners? Starting from the listener we have on this episode, I must say a very big thank you. I mean, Faith, EF has listened to almost all the episodes of the podcast. And maybe he has listened, not listened to maybe 2 or 3. Yeah. And to every other listener out there, you know, that listens, that shares, that comes back to us and tells us, oh, I was listening to this episode. I really like the work. We've had DMs, people coming to tell us, we like the work you're doing. We like your podcast. We enjoy, you know, what you do. We see indie writers sending us messages. We would like to sit in your podcast. What does it take? You know, just those conversations, having people say you're doing something in your little way for the literary industry. It's just beautiful. So a big thank you to to all of you, our listeners, for sharing, for listening, for liking, you know, for the comments, for the support. It means a lot to us. And this year, we actually had an increase in listeners than any other year. So thank you guys, really, for sticking with the podcast. Yay! So, Faith, I think that so we don't, you know, drag too long, and I think EF has to go. I'll just say for you as well, what would you like to say to our listeners?
I would like to say thank you. I mean, it's one thing to start something. It's another thing to have people who show up for it, who listen. If nobody listened to our podcast, like, there would not be a season two. There would not even be this season.
Yeah.
So thank you very much. We are deeply grateful, especially for our friends, you know, for our own personal friends and community that just supported us, that really bought into, you know, our idea and then just, like, you know, did whatever they could to just be there for us. We are deeply grateful. Thank you. And for the people who became friends, you know, listeners who joined the family, thank you so much. And, you know, to our guests, to everyone that said yes, to everyone that said, not right now, but I see what you're doing. You know, thank you so much. So there was this particular guest that we reached out to. And, you know, she just sent us an email. Her PA sent us an email that, you know, thank you very much. You know, she can't come right now, but we really appreciate, you know, those kind of things. I was like, oh my God. So she's going to know that we have a podcast, you know? So yeah. Things like that. Sometimes we short shots, not because, you know, we thought that they would come.
Yeah,
but because we wanted you to know that we existed. So thank you. So I'm just deeply grateful. I'm overwhelmed with gratitude because I have grown. Like, I have literally watched myself grow because of this podcast. And my love, my passion for literature has just, you know, gotten better and better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. Thank you, EF, for sitting with us. Before we release you, we'll just say maybe one more thing you have to say to us, if you have any more. And
yes, that reminds me, we didn't ask the question we always ask. So, EF, what should we look forward to in the future from you?
I want to know.
Oh my God.
Yeah,
Okay, that's an interesting question. First, it was a great honor listening to you guys and your feelings. I feel like that's very unique. I swear, I'm melodious. You guys, people are going to listen to this as a second, you know. But me, I listen to it in first POV. So sweet. Well done, guys. What should we expect? To be honest, a lot of things. I was doing a career consulting with someone earlier today, and I was just talking about how, like, life is a marathon. And for example, I have done a lot of things in women football journalism this year. I feel like one bright light in my year this year is just what I've done in, you know, women football. I've interviewed coaches. I've interviewed my team's coach, Chelsea's women's team's coach. I've written for blogs. I've proposed my blog for another, like, major blog. I've written for, like, Chelsea podcast. I have magazines that are, like, being sold at Stamford Bridge is to Chelsea Stadium in England. Like, I have copies, and, like, I did not see myself doing that, like, 3 years ago. Like, I love female football, obviously, but I didn't think that, like, I loved it that much, or, like, I could put in a passion. So, to be honest, what was I joking with, that don't be shocked that in 5 years time I say, HR, thank you very much, you've served me enough, and I go and do an MFA. And I take my poetry very seriously. So I cannot say, but what I can say is that as far as, you know, I'm alive and I, like, there is will to dream and I have the resources, I will continue to chase my dreams, all of them. The writing dreams, the HR dreams, the Copy 95 dreams, the female football dreams. So yeah, you know, you guys might read my, there's someone, you know, it's very interesting because when I published Adulting in Nigeria with my brother, there is someone, my name is Anita Mola Shola. She runs one of the biggest writers workshop. What's the name? Spring. She's an established poet, Nigerian poet and writer. And she was very positive about the fact that we could write an expanded version. and submit to different publishing houses locally and internationally, right? So, but I would go and read that out in Nigeria after this podcast. And who knows? In the nearest future, you could see an art copy published, you know, an expanded version published. So, yeah.
Amazing.
So, we're rooting for you. We'll be here for all of it.
Thank you. Thank you, guys. And thank you guys for inviting me. You guys are amazing.
Ufama, you've not told us what's next for you now.
What's next for
what
me?
What is everybody watching to? Yes, what's next? What should we what's look forward next? To?
What's next for me? Let's see. Right now, I'm thinking of, you know, focusing on completing a novel that has been in my drafts for 2 years now. So there's that. And, you know, working in writing more films. I want to do a lot of that in the coming year, working in film, writing in film, and, you know, attending industry events, growing as a writer, really, right? Completing my novel, publishing more magazines, short stories, writing for film, and, you know, actually, and maybe at some point producing. But that's really what I'm looking forward to. So let's see. Let's see what the new year and the years after bring.
Oh, we'll be here. We're rooting for you as well.
And what are we looking forward to from you, Faye?
Thank you. Thank you very much, Joe, for that question, though. So I'm basically looking forward to being a proper industry publishing babe, like none other. So I'm looking forward to more writing, more books, more, you know, maybe get published someday, publish a book one day. But being a proper publishing babe for now.
Proper publishing babe, looking forward to that. Looking forward to that. Thank you guys so much. EF, we're honored to have had you as our first guest and our last guest on the Writer Source podcast. Thank you so much for sitting with us. So guys, is it goodbye? Is it see you later? Well, for now, it's both, but let's go with goodbye, guys. Until next time, maybe. Thank you for listening to us, and you know, do well to share this episode, follow the podcast, listen to our previous episodes. We are still always going to be talking about African literature, talking about the work that is going on in the industry, and we're looking forward to all the amazing things that, you know, our guests that we've had on the show are going to do, to what you, our listeners, are going to do. So thank you for sticking with us. Shout out to every single person that has been on this podcast from day one and every single person that has listened and has shared and, you know, just supported us. Thank you so much.
We love you. Thank you.
Love you. And a very happy 2024. Happy New Year!
Happy New Year, guys. Take care. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to us. Please remember to subscribe and follow us on our social media handles. Details are in the description box.